This is Dr. Max Shouts, pastor of the Heritage Baptist Bible Church in Walnut Grove, Minnesota. It is our privilege to be with you now for this half hour, and we hope that you have your Bibles out and you're ready to follow along, because that's the only way that we learn the Word of God is to give it out and you take it in. We'll be back in just a moment. It is so good to be with you again this Sunday morning, as it is each Sunday morning at the same time. We count it our privilege to come into your homes and spend this time with you. If you have your Bibles, will you please turn with me now as we continue our study on the subject of predestination, choosing, election, foreknowledge, and the subject there, are you predestinated to go to heaven? Are you predestinated to spend eternity in hell? We come now over here to the point in question concerning Esau and Jacob. In Romans chapter 9, verse 12, we'll wait a second while you turn over there with us. And while you're turning there, let me remind you that we'd found last week that Pharaoh, when the Bible says that the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for the same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. The Bible records in Exodus there that Pharaoh hardened his heart, and yet that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And we have found that God, when he pressed it to a conclusion, when he sent Moses unto Pharaoh, he made Pharaoh openly declare. Therefore, he hardened his heart. His heart had been hardened a long time ago, but nobody knew anything about it until it was brought to a conclusion. So in that respect, God hardened his heart as he made it to be made known openly by pushing it to a conclusion by his servant Moses. Now we come over to another portion of Scripture that's used many times by the predestinationists to try to show that God has chosen some to heaven and has chosen some, predestinated them, chosen them to spend eternity in hell. Read with me now, if you will, in Romans chapter 9, verse 12. Now it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. Now we find out that Jacob was chosen instead of Esau. As the other twin, Esau had the right of the firstborn to inherit the covenant and the promise of the family destiny. But Esau despised that heritage, and he traded it for a bowl of pottage. Now, if you have your Bibles, turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 16 and 17. While you're turning there, let me remind you, as Romans 9:13 says, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now, we come over here to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16 and 17, and let's read it together. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Now, the blessing that Esau did not inherit was the blessing of becoming the father of the Jewish nation, with all the plans God had made for Israel. As far as this destiny was concerned, Esau found no place of repentance. In other words, he would not change his mind. Though he sought it carefully with tears, that means he was very sorry for what he'd done, but he would not change his mind. There are a lot of people that cry because they are sorry for getting caught, or they're sorry for the penalty they pay, but they will not change their mind. There are a lot of people who have stolen. They're sorry. They cry. They go right out and do it again. But he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. You see, no reference is made here to the matter of salvation at all. Esau could have been saved, possibly was saved, but we really don't know. No one is predestinated to be saved or predestinated to be lost. On moral matters, though, matters of right and wrong, every person is allowed to choose for himself. But God settled that Jacob should inherit the promises of God, the promises that God had made to Abraham and Isaac, and so forth. And Esau later could not repent and take back the birthright that he had despised. You see, God had known ahead of time that Jacob and Esau and had made a choice. God told Rebekah before the twins were born, there are two nations in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. You see, the New Testament refers to this scripture and this truth in the following passage. If we go over here, as we were here, and read it again in Romans chapter 9, verse 10 to 13. Let's read it all again. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, you see, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. And it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now the quotation, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated, is quoted in Malachi chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. There we find that the loving and the hating were not for the individuals Jacob and Esau so much as they were actually for the two nations represented. Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. You see, God had chosen the nation of Israel, of which Jacob was the father, for certain national destiny. And between Edom, the country populated by the descendants of Esau, and Israel, God had chosen Israel and rejected Edom. Again, let me say this. We should take pains to note that nothing is said here to indicate that God would save a Jew quicker than he would save an Edomite, a descendant of Esau. This is not the meaning of the passage at all. And concerning salvation, we're plainly told in Acts chapter 10, verse 34, that God is no respecter of persons. But for a nation through which the Scriptures would be given and the Redeemer would come, God chose Jacob and his descendants and rejected Esau and his descendants. Now, let us go to another portion of Scripture that is used many times here to show and endorse predestination. I want you to turn with me, if you will, over to the Gospel of John in chapter 6. Also, while you're turning there, let me make one more point, if I may, concerning Malachi. When God said he loved Jacob and hated Esau, it was not before Esau had rejected the inheritance. Not speaking of salvation now, but we find out that that was written in Malachi hundreds of years after Esau had made his choice. God never said that he hated Esau prior to Esau making a choice. God never predestinated that he liked Jacob more than Esau. This was said after Esau had made his choice, not before. You see, God hates all workers of iniquity, but he's given all sinners an opportunity to be saved. You see, but you have the right to reject him, the Lord Jesus, or accept him. So we find out that Malachi records that hundreds of years after Esau had made his choice, God never said that prior to his decision. Now we come over here, if you will, to a familiar passage here to many predestinationalists, because it's used by them inevitably also to try to prove here that God has chosen some to be saved and chosen some to be lost. Notice with me now, if you will, and we're over here to the sixth chapter here in the Gospel of John, here in verse 37 and 38. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Now, their reasoning is here. They say that all the Father giveth me shall come to me. That means that unless God gives you unto the Son, you cannot come unto the Son. But now let's go on over here, if you will, and this is the profit of examining all the Scriptures in context. Go with me now, if you will, to verse 44 and 45 of the same chapter. Well, let's find out here how the Father gives the people unto the Son and get a little more information. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Draw him. How in the world does the Father draw a person unto the Lord Jesus Christ? How does he do it? Now let's go on down to verse 45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. So we find out here the Father draws them as they have heard and learned of the Father. How in the world do you hear? If we go over now to Romans chapter 10, verse 17, we find that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you sat in a church service and heard the preacher expound upon the Word of God and invite you to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what? The Father is drawing you. The Spirit of God will convict you. You have heard the Word of God. The Spirit will convict you, and is now left up to you. Will you believe what has been taught? Will you believe the Scriptures? Well, you know that you're a sinner. No one even needs to tell you that. The Holy Spirit will convict you. That's sometimes when we preach. You look out over a congregation, you'll see someone there just squirming for all they're worth, going through all kind of gyrations, and you find out, you just know they're under conviction. They can hardly sit in their seat. You know, the Holy Spirit's convicted them. Listen, you need to be saved. You need to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But now let's amplify upon this a little bit and find out. Let's go on over to John chapter 12, verse 32, if you will. John chapter 12, verse 32, and we're going to find out here now how the Father draws men unto Christ. Chapter 12 and verse 32. Notice here, if you will. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, that's the Lord Jesus, I will draw all unto me, or all men unto me. Not all men without exception, but all men rather without distinction of color, race, creed, doesn't make any difference at all. And if I be lifted up, how will he draw them? By the cross, by the resurrection, by Christ dying to pay for our sins. That's how he draws us. How does the Father draw us? By the Word of God that bears witness of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Now, let's go on over here, if you will, and look to another portion of Scripture here found in 2 Thessalonians. Let's go over there, dealing on this same point here that the predestinationists love to go to. Let's go here, if you will. In 2 Thessalonians, we're here now in chapter 2, and notice here in verse 13 and 14 carefully, if you will. I've had many predestinationalists show me this, and then they stop right in the middle. I don't know why they do that, but and I know why. It is to endorse a doctrine instead of want to know what the clear teaching of the Word of God is. Why would you stop in the middle of a verse or not read the last line? But let's read it together in 2 Thessalonians. Notice here now, if you will, in chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through. Now notice here, they usually stop there. You see, God's chosen you to salvation. But if you'll notice now in the last part here in verse 14, how did he choose you to salvation? Here's how. Through sanctification of the Spirit. Sanctification basically means holy or set apart. And belief in the truth. You're only chosen to salvation if you believe the truth. He didn't choose you to believe the truth. He chose you after you believed the truth. You see, whereunto he called you by our gospel. How did he call us? How does he draw us? The gospel in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, wherefore I deliver unto you the gospel, how that Christ died, he was buried, he rose again. In John chapter 12, verse 31, 32, what's he saying? If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Lifted up where? On the cross, you see. And Romans 10, 17, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. How does God draw men today? By the Word that bears witness of the death, the burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the gospel. And then we have sanctification of the Spirit. It will convict us. And then to make this applicable, we find out we must believe the truth. When we believe the truth, then we are chosen to salvation. God never has chosen you on any merits of your own. If he would, he would be unjust. Because we're all in the same boat. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, when you leave this earth, you'll have absolutely no one to blame if you've rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible, which calls all of us, convicts us by the Holy Spirit of God. And the Bible bears witness of the Son of God that he did die, he was buried, he did rise again from the dead. And you find out that the Bible is your friend or your judge. A man by the name of Dr. Al Lacey told this story some time ago. He said there was a man who had committed several crimes, and each time the same attorney pulled some strings and by a clever defense got the man off. He had left town, and he was gone several years, and he finally came back to his hometown. He was in a bar, and he got into an argument, and he left and returned with a gun, and he shot the man while he was sitting on the bar stool. He couldn't find his previous attorney's name in the yellow pages, and he figured that He had probably moved out of town or he had probably died. He secured another attorney and was found guilty. When the judge had come out to try the case, much to his surprise, it was the attorney who had represented him before. When he approached the bench for sentencing, the judge made the statement. He said, "I once was your friend and your attorney who got you off, but now I'm not your friend, but I'm your judge." You see, the judge summoned him, or I should say sentenced him to die in the electric chair, and he did. You'll find out that the Bible, the judge at one time, was his defense attorney. You'll find out that the Bible, through God who has sent the Lord Jesus Christ, is your defense attorney. He said, "I'll die for you. I will pay your price. I will get you off the hook. You won't have to pay the debt of sin, which is death. That's eternal separation from God. I'll pay that debt for you. I'll be your attorney with God. I'll come to this earth and die on the cross and set you entirely free. And by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. I'll give it to you. I'll do it for you. I love you that much. And you're saved by grace through faith, not of yourself. It is a gift to God. And God is your attorney. God loves you so much, He paid your debt and your penalty for sin. But if you die and you reject the Lord Jesus Christ and that payment, then Christ no longer becomes your advocate. He no longer becomes your attorney. He no longer becomes your sin payment because you've rejected that, and He'll no longer get you off for the penalty of sin that you committed. He'll then become your judge. And we read in Matthew chapter 12, verse 41, He says, "Then I'll say unto you, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." And you may come back and say, "Well, I thought I was predestinated. I heard some preacher, I heard somebody say something. I was predestinated to hell." The Bible says, and God will say to you, "Look, I was your defense attorney. God put in there that He loved the world and gave His only begotten Son. Here I am. I died for you, but you rejected me. I would have been your advocate. I would have been your attorney. I would have set you free. I did pay for your sin, but you rejected that. Now I'm your judge. I'm not your attorney any longer. You depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." That's why it's important to listen to the Bible instead of men. I'm going to say something at the close of this broadcast because there's just like a religious cloud over this world trying to make people afraid to speak out against what is the Bible says to be true and what the clergy is claiming in some cases of some of these religions that is absolutely false. I'm going to bring something out. Now, I think some of you who belong to it ought to lift up your ears and listen, because it's going to cost you your life if you follow this kind of damnable teaching. I heard just the other day, it just came out over the radio, the Pope made a statement. Some of you Roman Catholics shall lift up your ears and listen to this. The Pope made a statement that he said he does not endorse capital punishment, that he is not for capital punishment. Do you know that the Pope is calling God an absolute liar 100%? And you're following that, the leadership of a man? I don't care if it's a priest, a minister, a rabbi, or what. I couldn't believe it when the Pope said it. We have many Roman Catholics out there just following this man that puts on his shoes and his pants and his robe like anybody else, and they're blindly following him, letting the blind lead the blind. I hope this maybe will entice you enough to look in your Bible in Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, where it says, "Whosoever sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed." And in the Old Testament, when a son was rebellious, he was to be taken out and stoned to death. If you broke or did any kind of work on the Sabbath, you were to be stoned to death. If there was adultery committed, you were to be stoned to death. You were to die. And we have the Pope, the leader of thousands and thousands of Roman Catholics, coming out and making a statement saying, "God, you're a liar. I'm going to teach the people exactly opposite of what you say." And we have a lot of blind Catholics going right along saying, yes, sir, whatever the Pope says, we'll do. We'll bow down. We'll do it." The blind leading the blind. I hope this shakes you up enough to get looking in your Bible. Write your priest and write your Pope. We sent him one of our books over there to the Vatican, Salvation, the Public Invitation. He sent it back, wouldn't read it. We sent him another. We haven't heard from that. We just sent it 2 weeks ago. You know what? You ought to call your priest and find out what they're teaching there. And if they teach contrary to the Bible, I think it's time we speak out about it. I think it's time we defend God and don't let any man hold a cloud of religious veneer over us and try to scare you to death like you're opposing God Himself. You're opposing a man who's teaching contrary to the Word of God. And the same thing with predestination. We're challenging you to go to the Bible so that you can know you're going to heaven by the grace of God. Listen, folks, Jesus Christ died for you. You're not going to heaven by being a Baptist or being a Catholic or being a Lutheran or being a Presbyterian or being a Jehovah's Witness or whatever. You're going to heaven because of a person, the Lord Jesus Christ, not a denomination, not an organization. So many people are wooed and swooed by this kind of religious veneer. We hope you'll go to the Bible and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll save you, give you eternal life. But I see our time's gone. We'll pick it up here next week and continue on here and get into the sacrifice that God gave, which is the pointing to the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, where he shed his blood, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Not without being baptized. Not without partaking of the Lord's Supper. Not without joining the church and so forth. But without the blood. So let me ask you, what are you trusting? Are you trusting your self-righteousness, or are you trusting the blood of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to pay for your sins and promised that whosoever believeth in him would never perish but have everlasting life? Well, thank you for joining with us, and I hope you'll continue next week and follow along in this series here. We hope you'll take time to write. Our mailing address is the Heritage Radio Bible Class, Post Office Box 573, Walnut Grove, Minnesota, and our zip code is 56180. Until next week at the same time, may the Lord richly bless you as we ever pray. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.